The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Eleven years on from the release of her Pulitzer Prize-winning novel Olive Kitteridge, Elizabeth Strout is bringing the beloved character back for a sequel titled Olive Again. Her new book continues to tell the story of Olive's life, exploring grief, loneliness, regret and hope. And author Elizabeth Strout is with me in studio. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much.
Now, some of my colleagues obviously are signed up to HBO, so they saw the dramatization of Olive on television. But some of our listeners do not know who Olive is. So perhaps you can explain who is Olive Kitteridge.
Right. Olive Kitteridge is a retired school teacher who lives in a small town in Maine. And she is very brisk and forthright and does not mince her words. And she's a very complicated person, let's put it that way.
There is no filter.
There's no filter. That's perfectly true.
Right. What is the reason for her state of mind, for her way of being? What happened to her to make her like that?
You know, I think, first of all, I think she was probably born that way. I think it's her nature. I think
hardwired.
Right. I think we're born with natures, and that was partly her nature, and also the death of her father, who died of suicide, which is mentioned just briefly in both of those books, in my mind, has made her even a little more brisk.
Yeah. Now, it was hugely successful. I mentioned Pulitzer Prize winning and also the dramatization. Were you surprised that she transferred so beautifully to the screen?
Well, I was amazed, and I was very, very happy. Thank goodness. Yes, I was thrilled.
And
with it.
And the actor who played Olive, a big challenge.
Frances McDormand. She was absolutely wonderful. Right. Lovely. Yeah. Perfect.
I mean, we've all seen Frances in other productions, but to capture the essence of Olive, I think a big challenge for an actor.
It's a huge challenge, and I think she did it really, really well.
Why did you decide to revisit Olive? Was Olive always on the cards for more?
I never thought I would revisit Olive. I really, really did not think that I would ever write about her again, but she just showed up probably about 4 years ago. She absolutely showed up. And when Olive shows up, you have to pay attention.
How did she show up?
I was sitting in a cafe in Norway, and I was just checking my emails, and I just boom, out of absolutely nowhere. I just saw her nosing her car into that marina, and I realized as she got out of the car that she had a cane, so I thought, okay, she's older. And I just saw her so vividly, and she came to me in that story or chapter or whatever very, very vividly, and then I realized, okay, Olive, here we go again.
The people around Olive and the people she consorts with, I mean, she is highly judgmental, shall we say.
Yes, she is.
I mean,
absolutely.
I mentioned no filter, but what I love about your writing is that the kind of thoughts we all have, you know, we catch sight of somebody and we immediately have a snap thought, and we might have to, you know, give ourselves a little mental slap.
Right, exactly.
Don't think that way.
That's right.
Don't be like that.
Right, right.
But
she doesn't.
but these thoughts, they flicker through and they're there.
Right.
And it's the way we all actually
I think you're right about that. And I think one of the reasons that Olive Kitteridge has become so beloved by many readers is because there's a part of her in everybody. I mean, Olive is a very complicated character, and she does not damp down those characteristics. And most of us try to.
Now, each one of the chapters kind of stands alone.
Yes, right.
And that's a deliberate technique on your part.
Yeah, it is.
That you can open the book anywhere.
Right.
And once you're familiar with Olive.
Right.
One of the early chapters is talking about Olive assisting at a childbirth.
Yes.
In a most extraordinary situation.
Right. At a baby shower.
Now, the baby shower, in Ireland, it's certainly a modern thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure there are that many of them. Mm-hmm. We adapted the hen party and the stag party and all of that. The baby shower, I'm not sure to what extent it is caught on.
Right.
But she's so kind of critical. There's the girl who's going to have the baby, and they're unwrapping the gifts, mm-hmm. and she's taking the ribbon from each gift mm-hmm. and kind of adhering it to something so it right. can be reused, recycled.
Right.
Olive has no time for this.
Olive is just as bored as she can possibly be. And when she realizes that every single gift is going to have to be unwrapped and passed around to every single person and every single person is going to comment on it, she just feels like she could go completely batty.
Yeah. Everyone has got to go, ooh, ah,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
that lovely?
She yeah, just yeah. can't stand it.
But then
it.
A drama
yeah.
intervenes.
Right.
Now, we're not giving too much away because right. we won't talk about right. all the stories. We'll concentrate on this one. There is a very largely pregnant woman present at
That's
the baby
right.
shower.
Right. And she is in labor. She goes into labor and Olive figures it out before anybody else does and delivers the baby in Olive's back seat. She says, get in the car. Just get right there in the car. It's right there on the front lawn where Olive is parked, being Olive. And the baby's born in the back seat of Olive's car.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a feather out of Olive.
No. No. That's what she does.
The next thing she knows is that the guy from the ambulance right. service is tapping her on the right. shoulder saying, we'll take over
right,
now.
Right, right. But she has delivered the baby.
But there's one little intriguing note mm-hmm. That the woman is about to have the baby in her labor and in pain mm-hmm. and about to have the baby. She just remarks about the person for whom the baby right. shower is being right. held. I don't know if he's even going to marry her.
That's right. That's right.
That's a real grenade.
That's right. And you're very good to notice that because it's just slipped in there and that's life, you know.
Do you know any Olives?
I don't know any Olives. I know bits and pieces of Olive and they all seem to have come together in this whirlwind of a woman who just showed up.
Do yeah. people, interviewers like myself and others who've read the books, the book and now the second book, do they think you're Olive in some way? Are
you know,
they wary of you?
I don't, you know, I've never thought so because I don't think I am Olive. But once in a while, somebody will say, oh, wow, I'm so glad to meet you because I thought you were going to be Olive. And then I think, oh, people might think that. But I'm not. So it's never occurred to me. Mm.
Olive is, you know, she has a very searing spotlight that she shines on mm-hmm. other people. But she also does so for herself.
Yes, she does.
She is unsparing of her own inadequacies.
Right. You're absolutely right. And that, I think, is part of her belovedness in a way.
Tell me about her relationship with her son.
Well, you know, Christopher's always had, I think, a difficult time being Olive's son. And as he gets older, she doesn't quite know what to do with him. But she loves him and he loves her. I think that's not to be forgotten, that they do love each other. And as difficult as their relationship is, particularly in the beginning and middle of Olive again, it straightens itself out toward the end. But I think it should never be forgotten by the reader that they do love each other. They love yeah. each other imperfectly, you know, as many of us do. But
and Olive would have felt the same way about her late husband, one
yes.
presumes.
Yes.
Imperfectly.
Yes.
But Olive. Loved nonetheless.
But Olive loved him nonetheless. Absolutely.
Olive shares kind of characteristics that many of us would share. For instance, and I know some listeners will get offended by this, but the idea of having a baby in a bath.
Oh, right.
This is what her
well,
son proposes to do.
Right,
should
right.
his wife get pregnant again?
Right, exactly. He's going to have it in the bathtub. I mean, not the bathtub, but a special bath. A special bath, right, exactly. Well, you know, Olive is of a certain generation. And she just doesn't understand this.
The idea being that the baby coming out from floating around
right.
in the womb
right.
then continues to float.
Right, exactly.
So that can
exactly.
be gently
yep.
taken from the liquid
That's right.
out into the world.
Right, and this is done.
I know it's done.
Right, and Olive is of a generation where she has never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There will be a PhD written on this, on the effects of water birth on those who enjoyed it and
right.
otherwise
right.
Those who,
right.
who did
well,
not.
Well, Olive says, you know, in the same story, Olive, you know, when there's a breast pump being passed around or something and Olive thinks, well, she certainly never breastfed Christopher. Back then, nobody did except those who thought they were superior.
Yeah,
so.
another little dagger.
Another little jag.
Another little
jag. Other people, right.
Do you think this book will become also television again? Is there interest?
I have
interest?
No idea. I just don't know. Not that I've heard yet, no.
Okay, but the temptation would be there because it was so successful.
Yeah.
How have you spent the intervening years in writing? What have you concentrated on between Olives?
Well, I wrote My Name is Lucy Barton and...
Which was a big...
I wrote The Burgess Boys after the first Olive Kittredge, and then I wrote My Name is Lucy Barton, which is going to be a play, has been a play with Laura Linney in it in London and will be in New York. And then I wrote Anything is Possible. So I had quite a bit of work in between the two.
But Olive has resurfaced.
Olive did.
Your own ambitions to write, they were formed very early on.
Very early on. At a very, very young age, my mother gave me notebooks and just said, write down what you did today. And so I did because she
was my mother.
But
some kids would just ignore that and go out and play football.
Right,
you know,
I didn't.
But you didn't. You
I
wanted
didn't.
To do
I
it.
I wanted to do it. And so from a very young age, I just thought in terms of sentences.
So that might explain your prose style.
You might.
but it's very spare and exact.
Yeah, it is, I think, at this point. Right. I've worked very
hard
long and
to
pare it down.
It's already got fantastic reviews. It is called Olive Again. I'm just looking at some of the reviews on the proof copy that I have. I am deeply impressed. Hilary Mantel.
Yes, I know, it's lovely.
The Observer says, a powerful storyteller immersed in the nuances of human relationships. Sharply compassionate, says the Guardian newspaper. So good, it gave me goosebumps, as Sunday Times. So there, it is an absolutely terrific read. It is compelling from the opening sentence. Absolutely brilliant. It's called Olive Again, and it is written by Elizabeth Strout, my guest this morning. And it's available now in all good bookshops. Elizabeth, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.